Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And we are joined on The Scoop here on a Friday edition of the show, as usual, by Dan Slabov on the prowl. Dan, happy Friday. I say that hesitantly because there's snow on the ground, there's more snow on the way, and we have now gotten to a point where I don't think playoffs are exactly a certainty for this Timberwolves team, but nonetheless, it's Friday, we made it to the end of the week, so we can certainly celebrate that.
you're not wrong about that, Seth. The playoffs are definitely not a certainty anymore. And, you know, probably a third of the way into the season, the Wolves were sitting pretty around third place in the West. And in that span to now, the Wolves have dropped to eighth in the West. And obviously that is a culprit of Jimmy Butler, you know, getting sidelined for, you know, 15-plus games. And obviously the defense has not been good. And, you know, Wiggins has struggled to put on a consistent show and, you know, and other reasons. So, you know, it's not the fact that the Wolves are in eighth that, you know, I mean, it's definitely incredibly frustrating that the Wolves are in eighth place, but, you know, the reason they're in eighth place is because of problems within the coaching staff, and that doesn't just affect the present, but it also affects the future. So it's kind of a double whammy. It really hurts this season and in the future seasons as well. So, like we talked about off air, the winter is kind of encapsulating the feeling right now of Timberwolves fans, and it's just cold and bitter. I mean, for good reason. I don't think the weather has any good reason to you know, keep downfalling down on us on April 6th. And so we'll see what this next week and a half brings. But I think actually it's more just about a week brings. But it's going to be interesting. It could be a catastrophic disaster. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, we're at least in the channels of On the Prowl, a little bit on edge, because what seemed like, as we talked about, what seemed like it was going to happen at the beginning of the season when everything was going well is now coming down to the final few games of the season. It started last night, Dan, with a game against the Denver Nuggets, the only team left in the playoff hunt that was below the Timberwolves in the standings. The Wolves went on the road to take on the Nuggets, and it looked good for most of the game until late, but then, as we've seen so often, the Wolves not able to hold on to the lead, and the Nuggets end up winning 100-96, a huge blow to the Wolves, because now you've got Denver tied with the Timberwolves in the record department, and one more game still to go against the Nuggets, which could end up deciding who is in and who is out. But let's just look at kind of what happened throughout the course of the game last night that led to the Timberwolves coming up short yet again.
Sure. Well, you know, it was another massive game, obviously, and another disappointing outcome. It's becoming a late season theme, and the Wolves failing yet again to close out their biggest game of the season. Karl-Anthony Towns was pretty great for the Wolves. He put on a nice performance, 26 points, 13 rebounds, and one highly questionable call late in the game that resulted in an end to Towns' night. And in that play, we saw, I believe it was Jamal Murray. He hoisted up a three after Towns jumped, landed. Towns bit for the pump fake, and he landed and kind of thrusted his hip a little towards Jamal's area, But if you look at the replay, Jamal Murray shoots at his left hand, and it was just definitely a questionable call. Towns should have more, Towns should be, a better defender than that. He should have more discipline. But then again, Jamal Murray did shoot with his left hand on the shot. So it was just one of the many questionable calls of the night. That Nikola Jokic was pretty, he filled up the stat sheet as usual for Denver, 16 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. And then, along with Mason Plumlee, that Nuggets front court trio, they provide enough physicality and rim protection throughout the game to deter, the Wolves did just enough, to secure their 44th victory of the season. Devin Harris, he was a flamethrower for a few minutes there. And the end of their third quarter was really when the Wolves let the Nuggets go on a nice run. And the Wolves, it's been a trend of letting the opposing teams go on a run in the third quarter. They haven't been good in third all year. Not quite as bad as last year, which is pretty tough to get there. But they haven't been good in the third quarter all year, and last night was definitely no exception. Wiggins only played 33 minutes, which was the second lowest total since February 1st. But he didn't score, but he also failed to even shoot the ball. While a lot of heat has been directed at Tom Thibodeau this season, the Wolves head coach had no choice but to leave Wiggins on the bench for most of the fourth, in hopes that Derrick Rose or Crawford could do what Andrew couldn't and provide a scoring spark and provide an energy. Like we said, with the win, the Nuggets currently have a 5-game win streak, and they're now 20-5 at home against Western Conference opponents. So they've been really good at home. And the two teams are tied now, and it is just unbelievable that this game could come down, or the playoffs could come down to the last game of the season at home versus Denver. Obviously, till then, the Wolves need to make sure they win out. Until that point, they have to beat the Lakers tonight, and then they go back home to play Memphis on, I believe, Monday. So it's going to be important that the Wolves win these next two games. If they lose tonight, then playoffs are really looking iffy. So it's definitely going to be an interesting final week.
Dan, you mentioned Andrew Wiggins. His lack of playing time in the fourth quarter, and this is not something that we are surprised about. It's something that has happened throughout the year here. It seems like Wiggins has stretches where he is invisible. And as a guy who just signed the max extension, it's never something you want to see. It can be excused, I suppose, if teams that you're playing every once in a while are game planning to just take a player completely out of the equation. But this has been a regular occurrence with Wiggins, and it seems like he's in his age 23 season right now, and we're still kind of waiting to see what kind of player Wiggins will be going forward, which is, I think, a big part of the reason that the Wolves are in their current spot, is because with Butler out, Wiggins just has not really stepped up.
Absolutely. And Wiggins should be compared, because Wiggins is going to start earning max money starting next season, Wiggins should be compared to other players earning max money who are the stars of today's game. So rather than comparing him to guys like Will Barton or Wilson Chandler or just any other average Joe on an NBA team, he needs to be compared to Paul George, even LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and just the superstars of today's NBA. Because of the money the Wolves gave him and the position that puts the Wolves in, going in the future. Because the Wolves gave Wiggins the max, the Wolves have less flexibility to round out their roster, and with that, that shows that the Wolves trust Wiggins enough to develop into a star that he will make up for the he will more than make up for their inability will be to have flexibility in the cap space, because he will be the star they need, and will provide more than enough for the team. But since he is not doing that currently, and he struggles to come to the arena every night with energy, it's definitely extremely concerning, and it's extremely frustrating for fans, because we've seen Wiggins turn it on and elevate his game, and when he elevates his game, the Wolves are a top 6-7 team in the league. We saw it in early January when the Wolves went on a 5-game winning streak at home. That was probably the best stretch of the season for the Timberwolves. And Wiggins really had a really efficient stretch there, where he was attacking, he was being aggressive, and he was playing solid defense, while as well as shooting a nice percentage from three-point range. So, why Wiggins can't show up to the arena every night is a huge question that remains to be answered, and one that really makes the Wolves' future definitely tricky and unclear. So whether Thibodeau is sitting in his office and wondering whether he can get this guy to start bringing every night, or what the problem is with Wiggins and what his decision will be with those thoughts this offseason is going to be interesting. I can't envision Wiggins being traded, but man, having a max player on your roster who does not play like a max player is just an absolute killer for any team who has championship aspirations on the line. And when you have a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, and you have Jimmy Butler for one more year, you can't take anything for granted. So you really have to go all in when you can, and at the same time, obviously you still have to have a long term outlook, but. With that being said, if the Wiggins max contract prevents the team from achieving their ultimate goal, then they might have to make a tough decision there. So it's going to be extremely interesting to see what happens there. Obviously everyone should hope for the best and that he can really start to turn on next season. But that's kind of what we envisioned this season with Butler by his side, and that really didn't happen. Again, another interesting storyline heading into the playoffs and the offseason, the Timberwolves make the playoffs.
Dan, looking at the matchup tonight, the Wolves will take on the Lakers, and it sounds like the Lakers will be a little shorthanded tonight, but still, road game, so not a given that the Wolves will be able to get it done against the Lakers. And also the fact that it seems like the Lakers have been playing better here at the end of the season. So let's do a little scouting report for tonight's matchup against Los Angeles.
Well, I think anybody who's followed this team knows now that no game is a given whatsoever. If the Wolves can lose to the Grizzlies, the shorthanded Grizzlies at home, who had lost 25 out of 26 hadn't won a road game since late January, then they definitely can get bounced by a decent Lakers team on the road, even without Lonzo Ball and potentially Brandon Ingram. So Kyle Kuzma has been a really bright spot for the Lakers, and he scored 26 points on Tuesday versus the Jazz, came back the following night, Wednesday night, and scored 30 against the Spurs. So those are two elite defenses that he had really nice performances against. Lonzo Ball, he was expected to be the most valuable player for the Lakers this season, but Kuzma is almost taking the title of that. And, he's missed the past four games with a left knee contusion, and again, he's likely not to play tonight against the Wolves. And then again, Brandon Ingram, who's the second leading scorer for the Lakers, missed the past three games because he was in the NBA concussion protocol, and I believe he's doubtful for tonight as well. So a shorthanded team the Wolves will be facing. The Lakers still have some talented pieces they can work with, and Julius Randle, Kyle Kuzma, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So, it's definitely not going to be an easy contest whatsoever, especially considering the Wolves are they'll be on the end of a back-to-back. So one thing that could definitely happen that we haven't even mentioned on this this broadcast is the potential return of Jimmy Butler, who was expected to come back last night for about 20 minutes until the news broke out that he was not warming up. So the news broke that he was available to play, which doesn't mean he's going to play, but it kind of obviously spurs the suggestion that many people would probably think he's going to give it a go. And he did not, so maybe they were being smart, and maybe he wasn't quite ready. And I'm guessing he'll warm up tonight. I haven't seen his status for the game. I'm guessing he will be either questionable or probable. But tonight could be the return of Jimmy Butler, and so there's not a time where the Wolves could need him more than tonight.
Yeah, this is an obvious statement I'm going to make, but every game from here on out is must win. So you got to have all hands on deck and need to be able to finish the season strong. Just looking, Dan, since we'll obviously have had a couple of days to react either way, if the Wolves do make the playoffs, of course, we'll talk about that next week, but there's also a chance that they won't. So just looking at the season in general and how hot of a start the Wolves had, how disappointing would it be if the Wolves fail to make the playoffs, considering where they were at earlier in the year?
It would probably be the most disappointing thing that's happened to a Minnesota sports fan since perhaps the Blair Walsh missed field goal. I mean, am I wrong about that? That's probably my guess as far as comparing collapses and big moments. I mean, thinking about the Wolves, they were probably in third place for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They were sitting very pretty. Started of the season, I believe they had a 28-17 record. So they were absolutely rolling. And at one point, I know many people were talking about the Wolves and maybe them giving Houston or Golden State a run for their money if Houston lost to Paul or Harden, or the Golden State lost a Curry or Durant. And now the Wolves are fighting for their playoff lives just to potentially get an 8 seed and get swept by the Rockets. So that is another pressing question as well. Would a Wolf fan rather make the playoffs and the drought but get swept, or miss the playoffs? And if you're not a fan of Thibs, put him on the hot seat and get two first-round draft picks, because currently we have the Utah first-round draft pick that they owe us for the Ricky Rubio deal. And then back in, I believe it might have been 2014, the Wolves traded their first-round, a future protected first-rounder for Adrian Payne. So that means, if the Wolves don't make the playoffs, they get to keep that Hawks first rounder for this year. And if the Wolves continue to miss it, I believe then it goes to two second round picks for the Hawks in about 2019, I believe. On the prowl analyst Zach Moore said last night. He had a really good point in that there's probably, while it would be great to end the playoff drought, even if the Wolves do get the 8th seed, there's a higher chance that the two rookies develop into solid contributing players than the Wolves beat the Houston Rockets. So it really depends on whether you want the Wolves to finally just break the drought, so that that storyline can be done with, or you are still have the long term outlook, at the forefront. So, man, it's tough because the Wolves not making the playoffs would be a complete disaster. Getting swept by Houston would be, I know I'm sounding like it's a foregone conclusion that they would get swept by Houston, but because of the differences maybe between the way Houston and Minnesota play and how much the Timberwolves start struggle against elite 3-point shooting teams, and how with the fact that Houston is the best 3-point shooting team in the NBA and they take the most, combined with the recent matchups the two have had this year, I think it's fair to suggest that it would be a rough four game series, a rough quick four game series for the Wolves. But I can't believe we're talking about this right now. But nonetheless, it is more fun to be talking about this on April 6th than ping pong balls. That is also for sure.
Yeah, that's a good flip to it. I'm sure the listeners can just hear the exasperation in both of our voices as we do the segment here today. But that's just, I think, goes to show you that you have this opportunity to break this playoff drought, and it could all as likely just go up in flames. So there's certainly a sense of urgency, and we'll just have to wait and see how things play out here over the next three games. But regardless of that, we'll make sure to break it all down when we talk again next week. Dan, before we let you go, I know you put up a new piece at On the Prowl here this week. What are some things that listeners can expect as we get towards the rest of the regular season?
Absolutely. So we'll be having game previews like usual for tonight's game, Monday's game at home versus the Grizzlies, and then Wednesday's game at home versus the Nuggets. And, after that, if they make the playoffs, we will be, on our full coverage of the NBA playoffs, and whoever the Wolves match up with will have a series preview, game previews, what to watch for. It'll be fun to cover the first round of the playoffs, and we'll have you covered on everything, everything regarding the Wolves matchup with whoever they play in the first round. If they miss the playoffs, we are most certainly going to have a piece coming out on, what now? Because that would just be a huge question in what would be a murky Timberwolves future. So, that's kind of what we got cooking over there, cooking it on the Prowl. So, it's going to be extremely interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. That's all we can do as Timberwolves fans right now. Dan, thanks for joining the show today, as usually on Friday. We'll cross our fingers and we'll see how things all play out. This segment could have a very different tune to it one way or the other. So we'll just kind of wait and see, and we will react accordingly when we talk again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Seth, for having me.